doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of the Good Morning Salem show. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 8:06 in the morning, and I am delighted to introduce to you Josh. He is my co-host this morning for Random Friday. Hello, Josh.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
We are having so much fun already talking about, you know, this new launching of this business in our community. And I'm just in awe that during the pandemic, you know, when everybody is like, you know, talking in, about all the negativity and all the in there. And truthfully, a lot of businesses have shut down. And here we have this brand new business launching.
Yep.
And it's gorgeous in there. I don't know if you've had a chance to stop by yet.
I have. And interestingly, you know, what's great about this business and what's great about the things that they offer and the goods that they sell and everything else, kind of going into winter and getting prepared and things like that, they're going to have a lot of cool stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You know? And the thing that really shocked me is their shelves are full and and it's a thriving atmosphere where a lot of the stores I've gone into, it's like crickets, you know, finding the selection, finding variety. And, and I don't know, I have my own, I'm suspect a lot of it because they were buying foreign, maybe from China, the other stores, you know, and so they, or they just couldn't get resupply. I don't know what the issue is, but they have plenty of things and they can, it's well suited for your life, no matter if you're in the city or in the country.
That's right. And it's right on the border.
Yeah. And it's right on the border. That's right. So here's something that came across social media. Since this is Random Friday, and we invite our listeners to participate this morning. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call, the studio line 503-589-1220. But I thought this was interesting, and I wanted to read it and get your feedback on this, Josh. It says, after the elections are over, your neighbors will still be your neighbors. Trump won't be there to ring up your groceries. Your neighbors will. Biden won't be there to fix your car or help you out with yard work. Your neighbors will. Both Trump and Biden will still be in their wealthy political world and will be in ours. They'll both be doing their thing while you and I live together, work together, learn together, shop together, eat together, worship together, and bump our gas next to one another. Pump our gas, although we have other people here in Oregon pump our gas for us. But we'll be at the gas station together, right? We are what makes America great. We are the ones who choose to be decent, loving, caring, and compassionate human beings. Vote for whomever you choose to vote for in November, but remember, we the people choose to shape our communities, not them. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, it puts things back in perspective. You know, I think a lot of the times we get so amped up and so excited and so charged up, you know, to where we start, you know, living and making decisions. And we are, you know, there is a huge split happening with people. You know, that really puts things in perspective. I always had a saying like, hey, we all breathe the same air, you know, no matter who you are or what your beliefs are or anything like that, we breathe the same air. Think about that.
There's a song right now on that. Did you know that?
No, I think my friend stole it from me.
Mandisa, we all breathe the same. Yeah. We all breathe the same.
Yep.
And we all bleed the same, right?
Yep.
And the sad thing for me has been, you know, I have quite a few friends on Facebook. It's easy to find me, Stacy Ann, or Good Morning Stacy Ann on Facebook. I have a big Facebook friend connection, people that are all over the country. And not all of them think like I do or believe, you know, that Trump's the greatest president ever, you know, and all of these things. Some of them are pretty aggressive, have been aggressive in the past towards me about my stance and on abortion, on the Constitution, on gun rights, all of those things. And they've been vocal, and we've had good discussion. And I would say honoring discussion, nothing hateful. But I hadn't, some of them, I hadn't seen them on my feeds, and I went back and they've unfriended me. And it's hard, you know, I have to tell you, you know, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And but this is where we're at. And so when this came across, I'm thinking, really? You know, mm-hmm. because I care about these people.
Yeah.
And I don't look at them differently because mm-hmm. they don't believe the same way that I do. And it seems to me, and maybe I'm just in my own little bubble, mm-hmm. and I'd be curious to hear what our listeners with their friends and family, what the feedback they're getting to hear from them. But I'm curious as to why the left, and I'll just call it out, the liberal left, why they preach tolerance to lifestyle and thoughts and, you know, like any gender goes or any sexual mm-hmm. orientation goes, and we're supposed to be so loving and compassionate. But when you have a differing political view, suddenly you're not tolerant. They're not tolerant of us.
Well, it's because I think they're keepers. So they're simply just an echo chamber, and they're not thinking. They're getting orders and taking orders. And they've also never been corrected or properly challenged because the media works in their favor. The industry and the political atmosphere works in their favor. These are people that should have gotten a spanking a long time ago for, you know, trying to set the barn on fire or whatever, mm-hmm. and they haven't been. And so they keep, just like any repeat offender or anything like that, they just keep ramping up. And this is happening psychologically as well. They're not listening. They're not getting, any type of trouble for, you know, things that they do are corrected with reality of like, hey, you know, that kind of socialism doesn't work, mm-hmm. you know? Let's experience that or really look into it. And they're simply just not digesting, you know, life as it comes. Cause you know, there's an old saying, like everybody's a socialist until they get a job.
Mm.
Right. Cause then they start paying taxes and doing this. And so it's always been, you know, the teenager youth, the early adult life, they're always kind of social liberals. Like that's just what they do. That's what the education system
right.
indoctrinates into them. But then they usually get out in the real world, in which a lot of these kids, they're like lifetime education people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ever want to work. And so they just keep going back to school thinking that they're going to get smart someday, thinking that they're going to like have an education. And now all of a sudden they're going to be entitled to this $150,000 a year job, when the other people that didn't go to college, they just went straight into the workforce. And now here they are, you know, like that gal that you just had in,
mm-hmm.
young gal, great gal. She has a real career that she's probably started and been a part of, working on that for 10 years rather than preparing to work.
Right.
She's been working.
Well,
right?
And I think there's some merit to what you're talking about, that the real life experience of learning those skills to be responsible in a community. And I think someone mentioned this on the air recently, that what we learn in kindergarten, to keep your hands to yourself and your hands off of other people's property,
mm-hmm.
just real basic like that, those kinds of skills that we need, practical skills, and those in the marketplace that are doing hands-on work, getting paid very well for their technical service, whether it be, driving truck, laying fiber optics, things like that, are physical labor type things, are getting paid well. And those kinds of jobs did not get laid off.
Correct. And more importantly, the concerning aspect of being in that industry and everything else is the cavalry is not coming mm-hmm. in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a huge open opportunity in the trades markets, plumbers, electricians, lumber people, everything else. And that's what is kind of concerning 10 years from now, that they're not building that. Nobody wants to work. Everybody wants to be behind a computer. Everybody wants to tell everybody. Everybody wants to be the boss, you know, as far as the new and up-and-comers, the, quote, socialist liberals and stuff. And so it's really interesting. Like, if you want to work and you have an aspiration to do so, there's tons and tons of opportunity out there for you.
We just found out over the weekend, we were with some friends, and they have a boat in the marina just off the Columbia River there on the Oregon side, and we were celebrating birthday and stuff, and they were sharing with us that those that come through, here's an opportunity for someone.
Yeah.
They want to clean the boats, whether it be the outside or the inside of the boats, $19 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Probably cash.
Yeah.
A great little site gig for someone, mm-hmm. To hustle. They can't find anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of all of the people laying in tents on the side of the road, you know, not only in Salem, but also up in Portland.
Not even that.
That have signs, you know, give me your change or give me money for whatever and poor me and all of that. I'm thinking, get a bucket. One of the owners would probably even provide them with cleaning and get after it.
Yeah, you can't really mess that up. Right, you can't mess up washing somebody's boat. Right,
where has the disconnect happened, Josh?
Well, I think it's simple. The COVID, for one, the extra bump on the unemployment has crippled the employment industry in itself. When you're getting paid more to not work, and or just the same, or maybe just a little bit less. Right, with all their unemployment and stuff. I don't know why nobody really talked about that. That completely crippled the industry and market for employees. Think about it. I mean, that's socialism. They really literally instilled socialism overnight in the name of COVID. And so now we have a huge working force that's handicapped or crippled, or they've been on vacation, you know, doing this, doing yard work, working on this, not even thinking about their career that they were doing for 10 years or 5 years before, because they're living the high life now. This is great for them, because they're making all this extra money and stuff. And so you have that, and then you have, you know, the younger population, which scared to get their hands dirty, not trying to talk bad about them, but it's true. They're the keyboard warrior culture. You know, with that combination, it's hard to find workers. It's hard to find people that want to work, or have any type of, you know, attention to detail.
Well, and not only that, but can take instruction. They're teachable. What I found being a manager and a leader in the industry of nonprofit, of volunteers, and also employees, that they don't understand that hierarchy that's needed in business of the leaders who are there for a reason to move the corporation ahead. They don't trust it. They buck against it, and it's counterproductive. They're not teachable, and that's a crisis, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the best thing we can do is talk about it, try to get people out of their bubble, get people thinking about it, find different ways to reach employees, employers. You know, realize, because I was talking to somebody yesterday about how their neighbor, both of them have not worked since March. And they're going on vacation all the time and doing this and doing that because they're just making all this money on unemployment.
Wow.
And she's like, doesn't claim unemployment, works part-time. And she's like, I'm struggling and I'm working. Why don't I just go get on unemployment? And I said, well, you know, what does your dignity tell you?
Right.
And how is that going to do you a favor for when you have to start working and all this stuff gets cut off? You're going to either be in the food lines or you're going to have a job. So,
good point. You know, we're on Random Friday and we're talking about things that matter, I think, things that are relevant. If you want to join the conversation, 503-589-1220. Josh, the next segment, it's you. You get to discuss what
we're
you
gonna,
want to talk
we're
about.
We're going to dive
all right?
deep. Let's
all
go.
Right. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Thank you for tuning in on this Friday. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. And we are continuing the random discussion this morning in hour two and having some fun. Josh, thank you for being my co-host in the second hour today.
You're welcome.
And I kind of threw it out to you and said, hey, you get to lead the subject in the next segment. So you're ready to go?
Sure.
Go.
Yeah. So the big thing that's kind of been on my mind a lot is the upcoming election. Obviously, everybody's talking about it. But what's failed, I think, to get pushed across is the Democrats are actively saying that they are not going to allow Trump, if he wins, when he wins, to be seated, to be president and everything else. And it's really interesting to me that they're openly saying it. They've been talking about it for months. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is talking about continuity of government and different things on literally having their own inauguration wherever they decide that they're going to have it. So it's just kind of concerning to me in the fact that they're kind of playing quiet right now. Hmm. As in, they have something up their sleeve. I mean, Kamala Harris is a joke. She can't talk, and nobody's drinking her Kool-Aid. Pence just wiped the floor with her the other day,
right?
With just such statesman class, and it was amazing, and he knocked it out of the park. And that last conversation or that last question, written by that little girl, it was amazing, he literally described America, in its entirety of what it's all about. It's not about agree and disagree. It's the ability to have the debate, the ability to respect each other's liberties and freedoms. You know, everybody talks about this being a democracy. We're a republic.
That's true.
And a lot of politicians and everybody fail to talk about that. You know, we need to protect our liberties and what we have as individual citizens, not what the government's going to provide for us or do this or what we're going to vote on. It's the individual liberties that we have that's under attack right now. And so
I had the opportunity yesterday to go to a Republican women luncheon where I heard again our friend Danielle Bethel.
Oh yeah, she's awesome.
To talk, and she said, you know, it's one thing for me to stand up here and say, yes, I'm going to do this, but you all need to show up.
Correct.
You all need to do your part.
Yes.
I'm not up here doing it alone. We're doing it together. And so we need to be empowered with the information. We need to engage with our friends and family and our neighbors.
Yep.
And have these tough conversations. Don't put it all on me.
Correct.
This is together. And it's really, and I'm here and I want to serve you. You've got to get me here, but it's us together. And I love that attitude because I believe that we've lost so much of that. And I don't hear that in the Democrats unless it's just to play emotions. You know, they look in the camera and they sound so compassionate, like we're here, we care.
Yeah, everything that they talk about.
It's no substance.
Okay, guys, it's time to, all right. And, you know, when you're sitting in the food line, it's going to be Trump's fault. It's like, wait, what? Yeah. You guys recommended the shutdown. The shutdown's still happening in only the blue states.
Exactly.
We drove through Idaho the other day.
Oh.
And went and ate lunch. Yeah.
And no mask, or did you wear a mask?
No, there's no mask. Yay. Nobody's wearing anything, and it was normal over there. And so, you know, we have to get out of our heads, and we have to realize that just because, you know, the Oregon Health Authority or whoever is telling us, oh, you got to wear a mask, protect yourself, you guys have the ability to, you should have the ability to make your own decision.
Exactly.
Because you're infringing on your own liberties as a person. You know not to play in traffic because that's just what you do for your safety.
Right.
Okay. So if we have the ability to make that decision, we should also have the ability to make the decision whether we want to wear a mask or not. Right.
That's exactly right. And for me, this mask mandate in Oregon was one of the first to really come down hard with it. And if that's working in this social distance, why are the numbers going up?
Oh, exactly.
It's making me question, okay, is it in the water? Yeah. Is it the false tests? You know, who's getting tested? Mm-hmm. And again, out of 400, in my email box, it's like 400 cases and presumptive cases. I would like to know, please tell me
how many are
confirmed and how many are presumptive.
Correct.
Because I don't trust it. No. I want to say, okay, so 10 were confirmed. And you know how that plays out? Look at the hospitalization rate. Mm-hmm. Look at the death rate. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about that.
Yeah, they don't talk about that anymore, and they don't care because they're using COVID as a control mechanism. They've literally handicapped and brainwashed a large portion. I mean, I'm sad when I go to a store and everybody in the store is wearing a mask. And, you know, there's normal looking good old boy people that you would think, oh, that, you know, there's somebody that's going to stand up for their rights. And they whip this thing out of their pocket and they go right in because they don't want the conflict.
Right. That's exactly right. Right.
And they're scared of the conflict. And they're scared, even if they know or have doubts or have truth or anything, they're scared to talk about it because maybe they aren't versed in, you know, the quote science and, mm-hmm. and what is science anymore. You know, it's there's a lot of convoluted science as well. You know, some people think climate change is real.
There's no common sense to any of this.
Exactly.
That's the part that continues to get me a little stirred up, can you tell?
Yeah.
That it's like, where's the charts and the monitoring of the common sense? There's no common sense. And even when the president of the free world, he has tested positive for COVID, he's gone through the treatments, he's coming through the other side, and he's saying, you know, this is the real deal. This is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you do need to take it seriously. And there are things that we can do personally to make sure in that. But that should be our decision. No one should be forcing that upon
us. Nobody should be forcing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the UN and the World Health Organization. You know, notice some of the... I was listening to phone calls and when you're on hold and they're like, due to the World Health Organization mandate and recommendation, we did it. And it's like, wait, are we in America or are we in the UN?
Yes.
You know, last I checked, we weren't. But strangely enough, how are they overseeing everything? So that's a concern,
and
too.
How that ties in again, friends, and how that concern ties in is we got to make sure that, one, we're registered to vote, which that deadline's coming up on Tuesday. Two, that they get our registration and that we're registered, verifying that. And then when we get our ballot, fill it out and hand deliver it to our county clerk.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. It's 8:36, and we're enjoying a wonderful conversation this morning. Josh is in the studio with me, and Josh, I want to do a little round robin of some events that are coming up for people that might want to get out and about, and while they're still able to do so. Because right now we have some liberty and freedom, at least to move about in our cars, and we, you know, and we don't have to wear. I'm just telling you, folks, you don't have to wear your mask in the car. Yeah, I don't quite understand.
Especially
that,
when you're by yourself,
it's okay. There are some fun things going on. There's a candidate meet and greet going on in Dallas, just outside of Dallas, in fact, on Ellendale Avenue. It's at the Wildman Farm. It's 2452 East Ellendale in Dallas. I'm going to put up a little information on our Facebook page so you can check into that. Our friends with 40 Days of Life, they're continuing the prayer vigil. Now, I drove by yesterday. I didn't get a chance to stop because I had to be somewhere, but there were about four individuals out on the sidewalks there at Planned Parenthood praying for 40 Days for Life. That's continuing on through November 1st from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so I encourage you to get involved. And then October 17th is the Lovin' Run and Walk, Salem-Keizer Volcano Stadium. This is the Kicking Cancer folks in honor of anybody in our life that we've lost or currently is contending with cancer. This is an opportunity to show support for them, help support Kicking Cancer. And then November 1st is the big Kicking Cancer Golf-a-thon. And I want to encourage you, if you want to participate with me, maybe you want to be a fundraiser alongside me and our team. Josh, that's something that you might enjoy. You can hit 100 golf balls. balls? I think I can. I'm not a golfer, but it's at Topgolf. And I think it's in Hillsboro on behalf of Kicking Cancer. And if you're interested in more information about that, go.
Love me some Topgolf.
Oh, yay, Josh. I think I just recruited somebody. kicking-cancer.org/programs. And you can do sponsorship. You can sponsor myself, or you can participate. All the details are right there. And then I got a little newsletter, Josh. I'm excited that our friends from the Hope Pregnancy Center right here in Hope for Salem, they are going to do a virtual fundraiser this fall, November 14th. They're going to do a video event. It's a tour of Hope through the eyes of a patient, a presentation of the parenting initiative that they're doing with testimonies and patients telling their stories. It'll be a 30-minute event, opportunity for you to get involved and, of course, get a hold of the Hope Pregnancy Center, 503-364-2464. And don't forget to go to Coastal.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, look at this. You can register to win one of $500 gift cards.
Wow.
Plus, anything you can fit in this bucket now, Josh.
You 20% can't put your new off anything you can fit into that bucket.
Yes,
that's amazing.
That's pretty cool. And then if the purchase is $50 or more, you get a free bucket. So you can feed your horses or I don't know, catch rainwater in it. I don't know. Us city folk, we don't have such a need for buckets as much as the country folk do. But what a great opportunity to get together and that event kicks off on Saturday at 8 a.m.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
I'll definitely
be there.
You have something coming on in a couple weeks.
So we're in the process. The organizer's name's Ryan Kelly. He's had a lot of success in the, I believe it's Minnesota Supreme Court. He's been part of that whole process with them declaring what the governor's orders were unconstitutional.
Oh, yeah.
And a dictatorship and tyrannical and everything that they laid out in their Supreme Court ruling. So he's been a part of that, but we're organizing a national rally for Trump, a national freedom rally. And that's going to be coming up very, very soon. But basically, how we're going to organize it is everybody is going to be doing a rally at the same time, every single state in the whole country.
Oh, like even though there's time zones difference, it's going to happen at the same simultaneously? Is that how you say that?
Yes, simultaneously.
There you
yes.
go. Thank you.
And so we're starting at noon, obviously, since we're at the tail end. But the East Coast, they'll be starting at 3.
Oh.
The goal is we are all going to be having a rally at our capitals at the same time. And that's going to be on October 24th at the Capitol, Oregon State Capitol here. We're going to be doing a big national freedom rally, kind of pushing into the election and showing support, for our party and showing support for, the upcoming election and just trying to get people out and active and, it's kind of right before the winter kicks in. So
here's something interesting you may or may not know today. And I joked a little bit and I called in on Jeff's show at the 6 o'clock in the morning hour, his political coffee show, that President Trump is making radio great again. Did you hear this? He is going to go on the air for 3 hours with Rush. And he's going to take questions from that have been selected and sent off to him.
Yeah.
And I just think that's incredible. Plus, he's going to go on with Levin. Mm-hmm. He has been doing like brief interviews with Hannity and Levin and different folks. But he's doing all he can to get his message out around the obstacle of the mainstream media.
Because they're just full on censoring misinformation. Everything right now. They're not really reporting anything that's going on. Everything's negative.
Like, and on social media, people have been putting their personal opinion about the debate the other night with mm-hmm. Kamala and some memes and things about her reaction and how condescending and her sighing and rolling her eyes and all of that, schoolgirl drama stuff, right? That was not presidential. It was not professional. It mm-hmm. wasn't even senatorial. And yet she misbehaved, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And if she was one of my daughters, I would have a little conversation about that, there's a way to be a strong woman and be respectful.
Yeah, she didn't really represent women that well. She reminded me of, some girl you'd see like at the bar arguing with her boyfriend that didn't get her way.
Yeah, it was very drama filled and not very professional. And so it is important that we continue to get the message out there, right?
Yeah.
That we continue to go around or the media, because even Facebook, even your personal opinion on Facebook or Instagram or whatever is getting fact checked or blocked or deleted,
shadow banned,
all of that. And Josh, you have that background in technology in your business, your day-to-day business. Talk about that a little bit, that the kinds of things you do for businesses.
So we're a full solution-based business. So typically we're installing right now security systems in droves. Everybody wants cameras. We're fixing Wi-Fi in larger buildings, larger homes. We're fixing their Wi-Fi issues, you know, for the distance learning thing that's going on. A lot of families and businesses and places are struggling with some of their internet. So we're the company that comes in after Comcast or after CenturyLink, because they don't really touch any of that kind of stuff. They simply just give you internet. We're the ones that hook everything together, you know, consult you on what your solutions may be, and be able to provide you, you know, a cost-effective solution. So that's what we do.
I love it. And you're also very wise about how to keep your internet secure and your devices secure, and what you need to do to make sure that no one's meddling with your personal information, right?
Yeah. So there's just basic tactics that you can use. There's something called a VPN. If you can set up a VPN and operate and surf the internet that way, that's a huge deterrent for a lot of security issues that people have. It's simple to find a VPN. Finding a good one, they kind of get overran here and there. OpenVPN is pretty good. There's a couple other. ProtonVPN is awesome if you can get that. So you just go to protonvpn.com and you can use it that way. So that's a good security measure.
And let me break this down to a little maybe easier to bite off, right? What this means, so when you sign on your device, whether it be your iPad or your tablet or your phone or your computer, what Josh is explaining to us is that when we sign on with our local carrier, whoever that is, and get on the internet, you're still, even though they claim it's
secure, even though you turn your locations off, even though you have your all that stuff, they're still tracking you, especially now with all this COVID stuff. So they're literally tracking everything and monitoring all of your encounters, everything. And these are apps that have been updated that you can't get off your phone. Apple's cooperating, Android's cooperating, and look for it. You can see it on all these updates. They're doing active tracking. So a good practice to do is when you go to the grocery store, when you go somewhere, you don't have to have your phone on you all the time because they are actively tracking everything that you're doing.
And it sounds innocent enough. Oh, they're just tracking my, you know, consumer activities and stuff. Friends, it's a little troubling when you start digging into this. And so having a VPN, when you sign on to that, it's an extra layer of protection where they can't track you as much, and they can't get into you. It secures you from being hacked, especially if you are out of your if you're traveling and you're out of your market. And you know, like for me, doing radio work, I sign in from whatever hotel to do a show. It's important that I get into a VPN network, and as well as the local internet, just because you don't know what's looming out there.
Yeah, there's tons and tons of stuff, and it's constantly evolving. In a lot of cases, those updates that you do on your computer and phone are helpful. They usually are to protect against some of that stuff. But with the COVID stuff and the way that big tech is operating, and the way they're censoring and monitoring and literally trying to form what you see and what you don't see, you know, it is concerning with that. And so it seems hysterical out there when you look around and it seems negative, like nobody's on your side and nobody is thinking the same way. But the reality is that most people are thinking what we're thinking. And, you know, you're simply just being monitored through, you know, big tech and things like that.
And so they're trying to influence you with the negativity and trying to make you feel like you're all alone, and you're not. Yeah.
And that's the polls are fake, guys. The polls are
fake.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about, do you know about this Florida dude guy? Do you want to talk about
Florida
that?
Dude,
have
guy?
You heard about him? Ooh, I'm going to tell you about this guy. Okay. He's doing polling, and he releases it on Twitter. We'll educate. Seems like I'm always learning something from you. Maybe you can learn a little something
there
from
we
me
go.
Today. All right.
I
You're listening it. To Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having fun this morning. Random Friday. If you want to join in the conversation, give us a call, 503-589-1220. Good morning, Salem. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in on this random Friday. In the studio with me is Josh, and we were just talking right before the break about polls and national polls, and you said something that was pretty profound. You can't trust them, right?
Well, I mean, think about this. And we have history to look at this, and CNN, I mean, all the polls, all the major polls, Rasmussen, you know, Pew, all those people that we depend on, do you not think that they've been infiltrated since? If they're showing Biden at a 9-point bump, I mean, that is just unreal.
I've never been called for a poll.
I've never been called for a poll either.
In the world, I think they take 100 people walking by. And they find the most.
Well,
you know, I mean,
and another thing that they do is they over poll Democrats like 17% more in some cases, and then they present that poll, and then they put in the very fine thing at the bottom.
Oh yeah,
look at that! Hillary Clinton's going to win by 99%, right?
Yeah,
and she lost in a landslide,
and it didn't serve her well because it made them overconfident. I don't think they even have a clue. And
well, the overconfidence is a tactic in itself.
Oh yeah,
to stifle people from going out and voting, thinking, oh, you know, our person's never going to win. Our vote doesn't count. Nothing else. So there's a small group of people, which I don't think it's as large as it used to be and be affected by that because people aren't trusting the polls as much and everything else. So it's great. People are like, oh yeah, you know, you think Biden's going to win by 14%? Yeah, right. I don't know anybody that's voting for him. And I talk to a lot of people.
I haven't done a lot of polling or been involved. I've done some focus group things. And I do know, one thing I do know is if they're measuring likely voters versus registered voters, there's some difference there on the stats. But here's a poll that just came out, and Jeff talked about it in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, that right now polling really well, and I don't remember if it's the Pew poll or the Rasmussen poll, but it's one of those regular polls. And I think there's some accuracy to this, and I do believe people are asked the question, are you better under Trump's administration than you were under Biden's? You know, personally, are you better? And I think this is interesting because during COVID, you know, we've all been affected and upended and our lives are changed and there's a lot of things we're not happy with. But I think for the most part, people were like, that's not Trump's fault. That's China's fault.
Well, and the fact that the whole VP debate that Kamala was trying to say that it was all Trump's fault and look at, you know, jobs loss and this and that and unemployment and this and that. And it's like, well, you know, you're not factoring in this China virus that, you know, has completely decimated the globe, not just the United States. It's an eco bomb is what it was.
It's a drive-by, and what they're trying to do is the pain of this event and the fear of this event, trying to attach it, it's projection, trying to get it off of them and onto to Trump, because it's the Democrats who've been the most repressive and
Well, look at the Democratic cities.
Right. And so here's a poll that I've been watching, and it's interesting. I want to know more, and this guy, I mean, it could even be a gal, who knows, it's called the Florida Dude 297 on Twitter. If you have Twitter, if you tweet, I'm not much of a Twitter or whatever, but I do have an account. And the Florida Dude 297 has been doing polls. And he did he's wrapped it up. This is done. He's done now, I think. And he hits all the states and he hits the national stuff. And this is what he says. Florida Dude poll, national poll. And this came out yesterday late. And it says over 5,000 voters called right now, this is a national poll, Trump 50.3%, Biden 43.4%.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it gets interesting because he polled Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon 5th Congressional District, Democrat incumbent Kurt Schrader is at 46%. Republican challenger Amy Ryan Corser is at 44%. There was this article in the paper of the Statesman Journal today highlighting this particular race.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the $1.5 million that Schrader has in his bucket for this race. And Amy Ryan at the reporting time had $4,000.
Yeah.
You know, and so congratulations going out to Amy to being a formidable candidate when it's not an apples to apples financially, but again, she's connected to the people. Something interesting too, Josh, the race with Jeff Merkley, who's the incumbent in the Senate race, he's at 46 and Joe Ray Perkins is at 48%, according to this poll.
Wow.
Yes. And then also in this poll, and you can go and see more details, I think this is interesting. He said, here are some of the biggest Republican misses going on right now in Oregon, New Mexico, and Colorado. With a small bit of funding and time, many of these states can get a huge momentum.
Yes.
So he's saying, come on, fund these candidates. Look at how close they are. And I agree with him. We need to get fundage to these people. And he said the candidate Joe Ray Perkins, who is in good shape to win, could also bring a considerable amount of straight ticket independent voters for Republicans. So check it out. I think these polls are important. And whoever he is, congratulations to him for getting some. I tend to trust it because I think he's not owned by anything or has nothing to
lose. Well, it's raw and he's just giving you raw data. He's not, you know, swaying an opinion or anything. He's just like, hey, we asked these people and this is what they said. Here you go. Move on to the next, you know? And so that, I think, is what a lot of these polls have missed. Because I've never met anybody that's actually been polled.
Mm-hmm.
And so where they get this information, like, okay, all the Democrats go over here and everybody else go over here. Okay, you guys can go home and we're going to ask you guys a question and you know, we're going to do what we want.
Like they select a jury.
Yeah, yeah.
More or less, they pre-qualify. I think it's kind of like that. I agree.
Yeah.
So do you think there'll be another presidential debate face-to-face? What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's fascinating that, you know, they're trying to push this virtual debate thing. And Trump's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do a rally. I think it's great. You know, that's why we voted for him. That's why we like him. That's why I like him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's fascinating. I think there will be a debate because the pressures are going to rise, you know, against them and say, you know, Biden, stop being a baby. And and just come to the table and, you know, you can come out in a bubble if you want, however you want to do it. But I agree that in-person debate, he can bring his passy and the bubble. So,
yes, I think it would serve the American people well.
I agree.
To have another debate and see
a better moderator, though.
Better moderator, you know, substance. Let's hear what their plan is. I still have yet to hear what the Biden-Kamala plan is. And when they're asked about it, that's on their website, they deny it or they change the subject altogether.
Let's have Joe Rogan moderate the next debate.
Oh, yeah. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm excited that President is saying, look, I'm going to do something else if this isn't, you know, no, I'm not going to play by your rules all of a sudden. And I think how dishonoring it is for either candidate that they learn on media, this is what we're going to do, without any pre-conversation or dialogue behind the scenes prior to. I think that's just wrong.
Well, and it's really telling also, you know, this whole COVID thing of how they're using it and trying to use it for their favor, to curry favor for the Democrats. So
I appreciate you coming in, Josh, and being
no problem.
A co-host.
Thank you very much
Great
for having me.
Great conversation this morning.
Awesome day.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in, friends. Have a fantastic weekend. Whatever you're doing, remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing, you and I together, we're overcomers. Have a fantastic day.